Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your power that is working in our lives. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your interventions. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your protection on our lives and on our families. Thank you for blessing us with physical blessings and spiritual blessings. Thank you for your light that is shining in our hearts, in our spirit, in our souls, exposing darkness and revealing the truth to us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your revival that is happening within us. Thank you for leading us to repent and to obey your word, to obey your will. Thank you for leading us to follow the path of righteousness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for creating within us a new heart and a new nature that is making righteous living very easy for us. Thank you, Lord. We are here once again to learn from you, to learn new things from your scriptures. I ask that you minister to everyone that are here now and will join and will still join this meeting. O Lord, minister to us through your Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways. Teach us your standard. Teach us your mind. In Jesus' name, as we look at the Bible passages, let your Holy Spirit interpret every details that you want us to understand in your word through us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do more than we have asked. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue from where we stopped last Tuesday. You know that we've been looking at backsliding. and we've spoken or we've discussed on several topics under that main topic, which is backsliding. Today we're going to look at another point, which is point M, under point number one. So you can say number one M. So the topic is allowing bitterness to grow. Allowing bitterness to grow. And this is one of the signs of backsliding. This is one of the signs of losing faith. When you allow bitterness to grow in your heart, it shows that you're falling away from the faith or falling away from God. Yeah, so we are not to nurture bitterness in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds. Yeah, so what is bitterness? Bitterness is just as the word bitterness, you know, is abhorring negative feelings toward another person, abhorring negative emotions toward another person or toward certain group of persons or group of people. Yeah. And these negative feelings can be in form of inability or unwillingness to forgive others. Yeah, that is you refusing to forgive those that hurt you. Yeah, that constitutes bitterness. Yeah, and bitterness also include anger. Yeah. How do I put it now? A spring of anger that is welling up in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions, against someone or some people. And then this anger is not going down. You know, anger is like fire. Yeah, anger is like a burning flame. Yeah. And it can cool off. And in fact, it can be put off just the way you can put off the flame coming from your gas cooker or electric stove. The heat. So anger is like heat, like flame. Yeah. And just the way flames can grow, fire can grow, especially when you had a liquid that are inflammable. that fire, the fire would grow. Yeah. Yeah, whether you had petrol. Yeah. Yeah, I believe some of you know liquids that are highly inflammable. Yeah. So just the way fire can grow when you put fuel that can increase the flame. Yeah. Anger also can grow. Yeah, because anger is like fire. So anger can grow. And it can grow, and then it can also cool off or go down, and eventually be quenched. Yeah, it can be quenched. So we should not allow anger to keep growing in our soul. The only anger that is allowed in the heart of Christians or in the souls of Christians is anger against sin, hunger against the flesh, the nature of sin, the Adamic nature, and then hunger against Satan and his agent. Yeah, anger against the works of the devil. Yeah, that is the only hunger that you can keep. Now, remember that I said anger against sin, against Satan and his demons. So when I say his agent, I'm not referring to human beings. I mean Satan and those evil spirits that are working for him. So those are creatures that should receive our anger. Yeah, and then I said anger against sin, not anger against sinners. Yeah, you have to love sinners and preach to them and then pray for them to be converted, not to be angry at them. Yeah. So I'm just trying to show you a lot of things that I included in bitterness. So inside bitterness, you're going to find revenge, retaliation, unwillingness to forgive. Which some people call unforgiveness. And then you're also going to find anger, especially a prolonged anger, the kind of anger that continues to grow. There are times where we can be provoked to get angry, but we must not allow the anger to persist. In fact, the Bible says the sun must not set on your anger. So let's say you got angry at 1 p.m. Yeah, you must make sure that before the evening hours when the sun sets, that anger is gone from your heart or from your soul. Yeah, that is what the Bible says. So you must not keep anger in you. Yeah, you must not. Because it would destroy you. And it would destroy your relationship with God. It would destroy you and your relationship with God. So you must not keep anger. Yeah. And then you must not keep fueling the flame of anger that is in you. You must do everything to quench the anger. You should not keep adding fuel to the anger. Yeah. Yeah, because the mother fire of anger continues to burn inside of you. The more you are dying spiritually, the more you are losing your spiritual strength. The more you are getting disconnected from your Creator. Yeah. So there is nothing good in anger. And not only that, bitterness also include hatred. Yeah. So inside of bitterness, you will also find hatred. Yeah. And you know, hatred is the opposite of love. Yeah. Hatred for other people or hatred toward your fellow Christian. Yeah, so all these things should have no place in your heart as a Christian. You must not allow these things to stay in you. Yeah. You must not allow these things to stay in you. Be it unforgiveness, hatred, revenge, retaliation, anger. You must not allow these things to stay in you. In fact, you must give yourself rules that whenever bitterness starts to grow from inside of you, you must give yourself a rule that it must not last for 1 minute or for 1 second. Yeah, but let's say you're still a baby Christian, you can give yourself a rule that it must not last for 30 minutes. Or for 1 hour, that no matter what has happened or what has provoked you to anger, you must set rules for yourself that I must not allow the anger or the bitterness to grow for certain period of time. Yeah, because if you give yourself such rules, you are helping yourself and you are saving your own soul. Yeah, so what many people don't know is that following peace with all men is for their own good. Yeah. I don't know if you're getting my point. In fact, you get more hurt by your anger than the person who provoked you to anger. The anger destroys you more. Yeah, the anger hurts you more than the person you are angry at. Yeah, so forgiveness is more beneficial to you even than the person you are forgiving. Yeah, so the rule I follow personally is that I forgive people ahead of time. I forgive people even before they offend me. So I love people unconditionally. Yeah, so I don't care whatever they would do to me. Yeah, I've already forgiven everyone. Yeah, so if they hurt me, I can't even be angry at them because I've already forgiven them before they hurt me. Yeah, and I don't care who is the person that would hurt me. Yeah, whoever is the person, I've forgiven the person even before the person would hurt me. Yeah, so in so doing, I don't get angry. Yeah, the highest I can do is to detach myself from people that I know that Satan is working in their heart against me. People that I know that Satan is working in their soul to get me, to fight me. Yeah. So what I do is to separate myself from such people. That doesn't mean I'm angry at them. That doesn't mean I've not forgiven them. Yeah, it's just that I can't continue to be close to them since they have become instrument in the hand of Satan. Yeah, but if they repent, maybe God can tell me to now get close to them. Yeah, so that is how I live. Yeah, so we must not allow bitterness to grow. Yeah, it destroys us. It destroys us. In fact, anger, hatred, bitterness, they destroy faster than any other internal darkness. Yeah, you know, we have external darkness, that which is the things you commit that others can see. Yeah, the things that you commit that others can see. Those are external, outward darkness. But then we have inward darkness, internal darkness. So these are the things you commit that nobody can see, but only you and God know that sin. Yeah. And this bitterness is one of it. Anger is one of it. Hatred is one of it. And then we have pride, we have lust, we have greed, and several others. Yeah. So because this thing of bitterness can't be seen, that is why I call it internal darkness. And among all these things that are internal, this one called bitterness destroys faster. Yeah. I'm not saying the other does not also destroy. Yeah, but this one destroys people faster. Yeah. It destroys people faster. That is, it destroys their soul. Yeah, it destroys their soul. In fact, it causes some sicknesses. This anger, bitterness, hatred, it causes sicknesses. Sicknesses like heart problems, and high blood pressure, yeah, and many other sicknesses, yeah. So when you harbor bitterness, you are hurting your own self, yeah. And Satan is going to be using that darkness to destroy you, and then through that darkness, Satan can also use you to destroy others. Yeah, so we should not harbor this darkness and don't allow it to grow. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Okay, let's look at one of the scriptures that talks about hunger. Yeah, it says be hungry, but don't sin. Let us look at Ephesians 4, verse 26. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be ye hungry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Now, some people will say the Bible supports getting hungry because of these verses I have just read. Because these verses say, be ye hungry and sin not. So they say, yeah, the Bible says we should get angry. Yeah, but my question for those people is, get angry at what? Yeah. If the Bible says, be ye hungry, at what? Yeah. So that's the question. Yeah, so that verse is not in any way supporting negative kind of hunger or unrighteous hunger. The writer of that place was only trying to show us that there are good reasons to get hungry. Yeah, that there are good reasons to get hungry. Yeah, and I've said it earlier. Reasons that pertains to sin. Yeah, reasons that pertains to your faith in God. yeah, anything that wants to take you out of faith or spoil your faith in God or discourage you from continuing in faith or continuing in the truth, in righteousness, you should be angry at such things. Yeah, anything that is trying to pull you into sin, you should be angry at such thing. If you really love God, in fact, you should hate whatever is pulling you into sin or tempting you or trying to seduce you to commit sin. You should hate such things. You should get angry. But while you get angry, yeah, that is why the scripture says, be ye angry and sin not. So while you get angry, don't sin. Because even that anger, even a righteous kind of anger, can still make you to sin. Yeah. Yeah, because you can start to hate the sinner. Yeah, remember that I said we should be angry at sin, but you should not be angry at the sinner, because Jesus died for that sinner. So if you manifest a righteous anger, you still have to be careful, because the righteous anger can also lead you to sin. Because I've seen people who hate sin so much, but then gradually they started to hate the sinners. Yeah, and they started to attack sinners. Whereas God loves the sinners and God wants them to be saved. God wants them to come to repentance. Yeah, so that is what these verses say. Ephesians 4, verse 26. That is what it is saying. So it's saying that you can be angry, be ye angry. You can be angry based on right reason, but while you are at that anger, you must not sin. Yeah, you must not sin. You must not sin. And then it went further to say, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Yeah, so now if you notice that your anger is now getting out of control, yeah, because a righteous anger is not the one that is out of control. Have you ever seen people that they're angry and then they're out of control? Nobody can beg them. Nobody can console them. Yeah, that one is dangerous kind of anger. That's satanic kind of anger. Yeah, nobody can control them. They have lost control. Yeah, that's a sign of demonic possession. So if you always have anger that cannot be controlled, it means you need deliverance. It means you have been possessed by a devil, by a demon. Yeah. So it's one of the signs of demonic possession. Anger that has no control. Usually that spirit of anger will keep pushing you until you do something wrong. it is after you have done something wrong that is when the spirit will now leave you. That is it. That means you need deliverance if you experience that. Yeah, some people, once the spirit comes upon them, once the spirit of anger rises from inside of them and sits on their head, they just lose control. Yeah. And then they start to quarrel, they start to shout, they start to curse, they start to speak abusive words, they start to do terrible things. Sometimes they start to destroy things. Yeah, there are some people that they carry things in the house and start to smash those things on the ground, destroy things. Yeah, and then they start to speak negative words. Yeah, and there are people who have lost good relationships out of uncontrolled anger. Yeah, people that God wants to use to help them. People God wants to use to bless them. They had true uncontrolled anger, offended those people, abused those people, that is verbal abuse, insult those people, and they lost the relationship with those people. Yeah. So if you have this uncontrolled anger, you need to go and fast and pray for deliverance. Yeah, because this kind of anger is to destroy good things. So usually the anger will not stop until it has made you to destroy good things. Yeah. So it is important that you control your anger. That is what it means when it says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So which means, make sure you quench the fire of anger. Yeah, before sunset. Yeah, or before it is too late, or before it destroys something good in your life. Yeah, make sure you put out that flame of anger. Yeah, and even Jesus told us that we should set to any quarrel that we may have with ourselves as human beings and as Christians. In fact, Jesus said that if you are coming with a gift, if you are coming to drop a gift at the altar, and then you remember that there's an issue between you and someone, yeah, maybe you offended that person or the person offended you, and then the anger is there in your heart, the bitterness is there in your heart, and you have not reconciled with that person. And Jesus said you should drop your gift somewhere. Yeah. And quickly go and reconcile with that person. Let me see if I can get that verse. Yeah, so that is how serious this thing is. Yeah. What Jesus meant by saying that is to show us that anger and bitterness can stop our prayers from getting answered and can stop God from receiving our gift. Yeah, that's why he's saying we should first go and reconcile. Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find that place, but if I can't, we'll continue. Then if I find it later, I will share with you. Yeah, let us look at another scripture. Okay, I'm coming. Let me see. Okay. Let's look at another scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Yeah, can you see that? Yeah, it says we should not fail the grace of God, and we should not allow any root of bitterness to spring up from our hearts. Yeah, because many people have been defiled through bitterness. Yeah, many have been defiled through bitterness. So, which shows that the spirit of bitterness would defile you in the sight of God. It would defile you. It will make you unacceptable in the sight of God. Yeah. I pray that you will not allow bitterness to grow in your heart. In Jesus' name. Now, if we have roots of bitterness, it also means that there are seeds of bitterness. Yeah, so don't plant seed of bitterness in your heart. and don't allow anyone to plant seed of bitterness in your heart. Yeah, because that seed can become a root eventually. Yeah. And then how do you plant seed of bitterness? Or how do you allow the seed of bitterness to be planted? Sometimes God can plant seed of bitterness. You know what? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was saying that according to Hebrews 12, verse 15, the Bible told us about roots of bitterness. Yeah, roots of bitterness. And then I was saying that if there is a root of bitterness, that means there is seed, or there are seeds of bitterness. And then you can plant this seed of bitterness in your heart. And you can also allow others to plant it in your heart. And also you can plant it in the hearts of others. And I said one of the ways through which people plant seed of bitterness in others is gossiping. Yeah, you know what gossip is? That is when you sit down with somebody else or you are talking with that person on the phone, and then you start to tell that person about somebody else. Yeah, and in gossiping, usually it's not as if they are testifying about the goodness of God toward that person. Usually during gossip, the people gossiping, they say all sorts of things. Yeah, they say all sorts of things, which more than 90% of the things does not glorify God. So in some cases, they say all kinds of lies, things that are not actually true. Yeah. So they start to talk about things they have not proven. Yeah, it's like saying, oh, that man over there, or this brother in the church, do you know that this brother is this, is that, or do you know that sister is this, is that? Yeah, so they speak of things they are not sure of. Yeah, and most times things that are not true about the person they are speaking of. Yeah. And sometimes they go to the extreme by saying, you know, by saying, do you know this person is against you? Do you know this person is an enemy? do you know that person is an evil person and wants to hurt you? So in so doing, they start to plant seed of bitterness in your heart against that person. Yeah, they start to say things that are not true. Yeah, very terrible allegations. Yeah, very strong allegations. They start to say, do you know that person said this about you? Do you know that person seriously hates you and did this and that against you? Yeah. So, in so doing, they are planting seed of bitterness in your heart, so that the next time you see that person, you'll be so angry, and you may want to attack the person. Yeah. So don't allow anybody to plant seed of bitterness in your heart, even if the information that they're trying to give you is true. God has called us to love one another, not to hate one another, not to fight one another. God has called us to forgive one another. So don't allow anyone plant seed of bitterness in you. Usually people like that, either they are agents, I mean people that plant seeds of bitterness. It is either they are agents of Satan, or they have been possessed by the devil, by demons. Yeah. Because usually people like that, they are against the unity. They hate where there is unity. Yeah, they only want to see the Church of God dividing. They only want to see the Church of God scattered. Yeah, so their mission is to turn God's people against one another. So that is why they go to this person and then they tell this person a lie about another person in the church. And then they go to another person, you know, all those things. Yeah, and then everyone starts suspecting each other. Everyone starts to hate each other. And you know, in many cases, it's all about lies. Yeah. So, don't allow anyone plant seed of bitterness in your heart. And you also don't go ahead to plant seed of bitterness in the hearts of others. Yeah. So don't go ahead gossiping. So what we should do is to testify, not gossip. We should testify of God's goodness in our lives. So when you are in discussion with anybody, share testimonies. You're not supposed to be gossiping. You're supposed to be sharing testimonies. And say, oh, see what God did for me. And then you can say, oh, see what God did for that person. I'm really happy. Yeah, there's nothing wrong in that. You can mention people's names, people that you know God did something in their lives, and tell others and say, I know this person and I've seen what God did in his own life. Yeah, and I'm praying that God will do the same in my life and in the life of others. So that one is not gossip. That is testimony. Yeah, because you're not doing it with a wrong intention or for a wrong purpose. You are doing it to glorify the name of God. Yeah, so we should testify about God's goodness in our lives. Yeah. Not to start gossiping and start spreading wrong information or fake news or spreading spreading news or information that is going to lead to division among us, or that is going to promote hatred among us. Oh, we should not do that. That is satanic. Yeah, that is not of God. Yeah, so I was able to find the scripture I was looking for. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Yeah, can you see that? Let me try to read it from New Living Translation so you can understand. I mean, so you can understand better. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23 and 24. So, if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Yeah, can you see that? Yeah, these words came from the mouth of Jesus himself. We can see how the kingdom of God so much honor, love, and harmony among us, among ourselves. Unity among ourselves. Yeah, it's so strong that God will not want to receive your sacrifice if someone has something against you. Yeah. God will not want to receive your sacrifice. So in other words, even your money, God will not want to receive it if someone has something against you and you have not reconciled with that person. Yeah, so we need to obey the scriptures. Yeah, because I've seen Christians and ministers of God who don't really care about this issue of forgiveness and following peace with others. Yeah, they don't really care. And yet they come to the altar, they come to the pulpit to preach, they come to sing, they come to minister, And yet, they have issues with people, unresolved issues, unresolved quarrels, unresolved conflict. They have problems. They've caused, they've offended some people, and they are not making peace with those people. They are not apologizing. They are not reconciling. They're not reconciling with those people, and yet they are so comfortable presenting their gift at God's altar. That is very wrong. Very, very wrong. Because God is not going to accept that gift. And if God cannot accept their gift, what about them? Because if God can't accept your gift, then it means God cannot accept you at his altar. So for us to be acceptable, and for our sacrifices to be acceptable, we must get rid of bitterness in our hearts. We must resolve any issue of conflict or disagreement or quarrel that is between us and other people, or between us and fellow Christians. We must resolve those issues before you come and pray. Because prayer is also a sacrifice. Even before you come and sing worship in God's presence, you have to resolve every issue you have with anyone. You have to be at peace with people that have something against you. You have to reconcile with them. Then God will now accept you. I hope you understand. Now, another thing you need to know is that when Jesus said that, when Jesus said, "Dear, rememberest that thy brother hath hot against thee," or you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. In this case, Jesus is referring to a situation where you are guilty. Anybody can have anything against anybody. But if you are guilty, you have to go and apologize. Even if you think even if you are older in age, even if you are older than that person in age, once you can feel that you are guilty, once you discover that you are guilty, you need to go and apologize. You need to go and make peace with that person. That's actually what Jesus means. Now, there are cases where maybe you were innocent, the person was guilty, but then in the process, you started to say some words, some abusive words, or some words of insult. So in that case, you still have to apologize, though the person offended you, which means the person was guilty, but then you now retaliated, or you now reacted negatively, and then maybe you spoke some abusive words against that person, or some words of words of insult on that person. So you have to apologize for that part that you did wrong. Even though the person was the one who offended you first, but because you reacted in a way that is contrary to the Bible, in a way that is contrary to the standard of God's kingdom, you have to apologize for that part that you did wrong. Yeah, but if you have done nothing wrong, and you are not guilty, all you need is just to forgive the person and drop your gift or drop your sacrifice at the altar. Yeah, so this doesn't mean anyone that have something against you and then you are innocent. It doesn't mean now you have to go and make peace with them. Anybody can have anything against you because you are a Christian. Yeah, but in this context, Jesus was referring to a case where you are guilty in that situation or in that offense. You are guilty. So in that case, you have to reconcile with that person before submitting your gift and at the altar. Yeah, I believe you understand now. So I think I'm going to stop here. There are other verses you can check later. You can write those verses down. You can check them later, like Ephesians 4 verse 31. Ephesians 4 verse 31. Yeah. When I mean check them, you can meditate on them later. Yeah. Like in Ephesians 4 verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Yeah. And then James chapter 3 verse 14 to 15. You can also look at that one later. Yeah, James. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Yeah, so any wisdom that is teaching you to be bitter against your fellow brethren, that wisdom is from the devil. Yeah, any wisdom that is telling you to have strife in your heart against your fellow believers, that wisdom is from the devil. Yeah. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us concerning bitterness. Thank you for showing us how we must get rid of bitterness and other darkness that are working inside of bitterness, such as anger, refusing to forgive, and hatred. Thank you for showing us these things. And thank you for showing us how there is nothing to gain from this, from embracing these darknesses, these manifestations of darkness. And thank you for showing us how much we stand to gain by abstaining from them. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask that you help everyone here to live a life that is full of love towards others. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that every spirit that wants your heart and mind to always be full of bitterness and hunger and hatred, I decree that such spirit shall no longer be able to operate in your life in the name of Jesus. Your life and your heart shall be full of love and mercy for others in Jesus' name. You shall become a lover of peace, such that you follow peace with everyone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered that. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.